I told it to start streaming.
All right, let's see what we got.
I think we're live. No.
Well, it says we're live. Maybe you'll be able to find us.
Well, I heard something.
I'm clickety-clickety-clicking. Are you recording us? Which might be another.
Do you want me to record question. This part too?
Yes, we should probably do that.
Okay, hang on. I have to stop screen sharing to do that.
This meeting is being recorded.
Hey, we're recording.
Indeed. Let's see if we're live. Well, now the only thing I can see is your screen.
I know, okay, it does that to me too.
I don't want to see that. We're live now, and we've got two people watching, so.
All right. As we flounder about helplessly here with our technology.
Go!
and I hear you. Oh, wait, that's me. Okay. All right. Welcome to the second stumbling live edition of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I am your dedicated, most humble host, John Wilder, and his dog. With me, as always, is Mark.
Hello.
And the missus.
Howdy, y'all.
All right, you have to say more things than that so I can talk over the top of you. I'm telling you.
That's why I'm in, I'm quick, and I'm out.
We've got three stories for you live tonight. First up will be the missus with Broke Men Are Hurting Women's Marriage Prospects from the New York Post. Next, we're going to fix that in post, right?
Right.
Next, I'll
no one will ever know that you screwed that up.
Yep. Next, I'll tackle Daisy Luther's story about reverse OPSEC. What information are people giving you and how to elicit more? And finally, Mark will talk about why men don't read books by women. And so how was everybody's week this week?
Well, for me, it was good. Busy, but good.
Excellent. Yeah. In my case, it has likewise been very, very busy. It's been hot. Ready for winter.
Yeah, we actually had it cool down a little bit this weekend, which allowed me to go out and do some shooting without, you know, dying from heat stroke. So yes. I was happy.
Well, I guess we should probably tear into it. I'm going to start off with turning over to the missus. Your article is from the New York Post. Broke Men Are Hurting American Women's Marriage Prospects by Hannah Frischberg. Now, before I hand it on over, I'm going to tell you, my first thought on this one was the immortal headline, End of the World, Women and Minorities Impacted Most.
And that kind of is how this reads, too, a little bit. So this article, and it wasn't terribly a long article, but it was about this new study in the Journal of Family and Marriage. So actual academic journal that this was published in. Bear in mind the discussions that we have talked about academic journals. Keep that in mind. So anyway, this article suggests that the reason for the recent decline in U.S. marriage rate is due to what they call economically unattractiveness spouses. Economically unattractive spouses. We'll fix that in post too. And what this basically means is a stable job and a good income. For men, that's what they're talking about, right? So the study found that what they did is that they took all of these professional unmarried women and kind of asked them what they were looking for in a perfect husband. Then they looked at kind of traits on dating sites or some crap like that. I don't know. But anyway, they had this hypothetical husband. And what they found primarily is the hypothetical perfect husband make 58% more money than most single men currently make. Because we're in the gig economy. A lot of guys lost their jobs at the beginning of the pandemic. And things just kind of suck for a lot of guys right now. And it went on to say, and I thought this was a little patronizing, even as a girl, that women have started dating down. Yeah, single women are slumming. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, well, you know, I've got to note that this story is originally from 2019. So it might as well have been written in Sanskrit and found by Indiana Jones for all its topicality at this point.
Was it really from 2019?
It was from 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. But I mean, nothing.
But they talked about the changed. But they talked about the pandemic right in there, didn't they?
It may have been. I don't. It may have been another article.
Because there so were, much.
There's been several articles, basically from about 2017 to recent, you know, like this year, that have all sort of talked about this. I mean, it's a major issue. You know, women can't. You know, supposedly they can't find. You know, a good man, you know, where have all the good men gone is what I see a lot of. And when it talks about where have all the good men gone, it's talking about where are all the men that have enough money to, for me, you know, to allow me to live as I want to.
Right. That's it. Right.
Exactly. And when they did this comparison, they were comparing married men to, and their economic condition to unmarried men and their economic condition. And it could be that they're not maybe comparing even remotely the same thing.
Well, they might find this shocking, but that two people have a more stable, probably more successful in a lot of cases, household than a single person does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it was kind of fascinating to look there. And then, you know, also noting when you look at the two different groups, I mean, what's the difference? Married men are more mature. You know, single guys probably play a lot more video games. Waiting for death.
Married men are waiting for death. Is that what you just said? For death.
I object to the notion that I'm more mature.
But you know, it also mentioned that women that are looking to get married are also more educated than the available tribe of dudes who are covered in cheetah dust on the X couch. Let's be fair. The guys who were married and who got settled down earlier, they won. You know, and if you're going to go and get, you know, a master's degree or, you know, a doctorate and expect when you're 32 and ready to settle down after you've seen the world. Yeah. Just wait till you see what's left over.
Well, I can speak from personal experience and say, you know, you date a guy on the second time around. Sometimes you strike gold.
There you go.
I did pretty well in that instance.
I thought you were supposed to be mean to me. That was very nice.
Oh, occasionally the truth slips out. Well, you know, that's kind of what struck me about this, too. This kind of, it's kind of an I want it all mentality. Like you just said, mm-hmm. I want to be able to have my high-powered career and, you know, wait until I'm 35. And now I want to settle down and have kids. We're all the good men. Well, they've been married since they were in their mid-20s.
That's why, again, my first thought was, end of the world. Women and minorities impacted most.
Right. It's, you know, there are diamonds in the rough out there, but you got to, you know, you need a pickaxe and night goggles to find them sometimes.
Right. Well, even the headline itself just screams that sort of arrogance. It says, broke men are hurting American women. You think the broke men are might not be hurt that they're broke?
They so selfishly think of just themselves, right?
Selfishly think, why can't you be out making money so you're useful to me?
Yeah. Well, and you know, to add insult to injury, there was another article I read recently. It was a study that they went and found that, you know, looking at men that had gotten really high paying jobs, in the oil fields in Dakotas, and they were still not marriageable because, well, they didn't say. They just were like, thought it was interesting that, you know, even the money education. Wasn't enough.
They didn't have enough education.
Well, that was my thought. I mean, they basically, they don't have the social status, you know, which is, yeah, generally it's conferred by education now. But, you know, so it's both money and status that they want. Now the men with more money were father material, but they weren't husband material. That was what this study had pointed out. But I don't, you know, I mean, this doesn't actually, I don't think any of this is going to surprise any of the guys out there that are, you know, read in the red pilled community.
Absolutely.
You know, this is all pretty much standard knowledge and reflects that. I, you know, one of the problems that women have is, you know, that at least from
careful there, Mark. You're wading into it, man.
One of the problems.
Okay, let me rephrase. One of the problems that relating to this marriage issue that comes up often is in the red pill community is that and as you alluded to before, you've got these young women. They go to college. And, you know, they want to have their, you know, power career, you know, be whatever manager, lawyer, doctor or whatever. And yeah, they don't settle. They don't even look to settle down till they're in their 30s. But on top of that, even if they aren't shooting for that, they still want to play around while they're in their 20s. I mean, they don't want to settle down. At all. I mean, you know, they want to enjoy their youth and all that, and you can't blame them, I guess, but you're right. I mean, by the time they get up to where they're looking around, it's like, you know, either the guys aren't interested anymore or they're, you're right. I mean, the young, you know, they've already been snatched up.
Yeah. You know, what do good, hardworking, loyal, faithful men want? Well, it turns out not complete sluts.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go with this, because
one you're just of the glad I said it they, first.
Well,
no, you don't have to take the heat for it.
You just went open that one up for me.
It's true.
That wasn't
though.
The soundboard. That was me actually doing a pop.
I know.
One of the things that they've found in studies is there is a huge correlation between the number of sexual partners that the woman has prior to marriage versus the stability of the marriage. It's not so much the guy, it's the woman. And
Greta didn't like that.
And I know you and I have discussed this before, the missus, and you know, and it doesn't seem like it would be right, but I mean, that's what the statistic is. Marital stability is determined by low numbers of sexual partners by the woman prior to entering marriage.
Well, in low numbers of sexual partners by the men during marriage.
Oh, there's a Donald Trump joke in there, but I'll just skip that one.
You and I talked about that before too, when it came to our president. And I don't know if we did this on the podcast last week because I've slept since then. But you know, we talked about Trump and the reason, and a lot of liberals think that Christians are hypocritical in supporting Trump because, you know, it was in that piece that we talked about last week, Mark, that you talked about. And I don't know if that was on the podcast or not. I can't remember. But, yeah, about Christians being hypocritical for supporting Trump when he's had so many wives. And, you know, I think we've talked about before that, you know, I didn't vote for Trump to be my spiritual leader. I voted for him to be president. I don't care that he has a hard time remaining faithful to his wife. That's not why I voted for him. And besides, let's be honest, Donald kind of likes trashy women, right?
That would be correct.
Yes, women deserve love too.
Yeah, I don't know if Melina really falls into that. Maybe she did when she was younger. I mean, she doesn't I mean, because she has a lot of class. I'll be honest. When I, you know, when I've seen and seen her and heard her talk and stuff.
And they've been married for quite some time, haven't they? I mean, Baron's, what, 16, 17? So.
And he has now reached 95 foot in height.
Right.
I know.
He towers over the Statue of Liberty.
I couldn't resist that one. Well, we better move along. That's a very good one, and I think we'll come back around to it when we get to the very last episode or last story. We're going to cut that out, right?
Yeah, right. I'll take care of it in post.
Mine that I picked was The Organic Prepper, a story from The Organic Prepper, and it is by, I believe that is run by Daisy Luther. And she's got a story about reverse OPSEC. What information are people giving you and how to elicit more? And Daisy Luther, I've got to say, one very nice thing about her, I believe she's the only person to have created a video based upon one of my posts. This was the one about the desire to declare people mentally incompetent so that you take their guns, the red flag laws. And that slippery slope. I thought that was nice. But anyway, OPSEC, as Daisy calls it, is not just about giving away a lot of information. It's like poker face, but with your life. And it's a fun little article about the reverse, picking up information from others around you. And it's amazingly simple, too, because the first thing you can do is look. Does the person have a Bernie bumper sticker? Because if they do, that's cool, because that means it's okay to steal from them. The downside is if you steal from a Bernie bro, it's just going to be crappy stuff. All right. So then how do they dress? Do they have jewelry that identifies a school, a branch of military, a fraternal organization? Now, as a prepper, your idea is to be not interesting, is to not give away those sorts of information and details about you. But even something as simple as a keychain, how many keys are on the keychain? What kind of cars are on the keychain? Is there a gym membership on the keychain? How do they walk? Do they carry themselves self-assured? Do they look like a stone cat on a field of lava? Are they jittery, angry, smelly? And don't forget, Ted Bundy didn't look like what he was. So people can fool you. And Daisy went into some very, very subtle ways to find information. Trying to sneak into a conversation about people. But I found if you talk to the average person for 20 minutes, they will tell you if they're an axe murderer. All you have to do is ask them. It's amazing how open people are to just a direct question. So how much time you spent in the big house? It's amazing.
Well, you know, I think that it's because most of the time when we talk to people that we discuss things with them with good intentions, and we assume that other people are doing the same thing. Not that you're taking notes on my life, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's correct. I mean, we live in a high trust society still, and yeah, so people are more open.
And people like to talk about themselves; they really do. And often, you know, in past positions, I have been in places where I've done a lot of interviewing. And people told me the craziest stuff. You know, you're interviewing somebody for a professional position, and then they're telling you about how they don't really trust anyone at work, and about, you know, kind of drug-fueled rampages across Mexico when they were in college. And you go, that was 2 years ago.
That was John laughing at getting that information out of people, by the way.
Thank you. But if you ask people, it's amazing they'll tell you, especially put it in context of an actual experience, because people might make up stuff, but rarely do they make up stories about themselves in casual conversation. So anyway, but then the last question I had is, you know, reverse OPSEC. Why would you do it? Well, like anything, to judge threats, to understand who you are with and what the character is of the person that you're dealing with. You know, if, if you have the choice, deal with people of good character, and the way to tell them about their character is really just to ask them. So that's kind of what I had on that one.
Well, yeah, and she raises, I mean, one of the things I'm just aghast at all the time and is the, you know, the amount of information people put out just because they're trying to show off somehow, or signal to other people in their tribe, I guess, via bumper stickers or window decals. I mean, you know, the people that have gun decals or, you know, I mean, if you've got a dozen different gun manufacturers and accessory maker decals in your window, it's probably a good indication that you own a lot of guns. you know, the people that have the decals of their families, you know, you're telling them at least how many kids that they have, you know, if not other information. And then there's the decals that are, instead of the family, it's the guns. So you've got the different number of guns and stuff. You know, it's just weird stuff. You know, or you get behind, you know, one of these cars that has like three different variants of coexist and, you know, who knows what else, but you know that they're probably a little bit crazy.
And they probably have bad weed.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of information that way. I've always found it curious that people in the military will, you know, that have been, been in the military, getting tattoos that are around their unit. I mean, I understand the idea of, you know, building fellowship and, you know, everyone going out and getting a tattoo is part of that. But it also gives information. I mean, tattoos are, tell a lot about a person, I think.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and if they've got sleeve tattoos, I mean, you know, but you know, there's just a constant amount of information out there. And I liked your article because, you know, it made, you know, reading through it, you realize, you know, you could actually develop a lot of the same abilities that Sherlock Holmes always has in the stories. You know, maybe not down to the detail of knowing, you know, what type of dirt it is that's on their shoe and where they came from on that. But you know, more generally though, you can get a lot of information.
And I found this, I just got a weird one. So I found this, I did a lot of interviewing, and I found one thing about this is I got much better at interviewing the more I did it. So the more that you engage with people and the more you learn to ask questions and the more that you, and you, because you can ask a question without it ever seeming like you've asked a question, and that person will, and you can guide them with just little nudges here and there while they're talking, boom, all of a sudden you know everything about them.
Yeah. If you can win them over, you know, build trust, you know, with them somehow while you're doing it. When I take depositions, for instance, you know, that's a big part of what I try to do is try to find some commonality with the people, you know, so that they'll feel more, open, you know, feel more, they're more ready to open up to me. So,
yep.
But,
yep.
And then this is sort of a funny story though. This is sort of funny though. This is one thing I've noticed around here in Boise, just because there's a lot of hostility towards people that have moved from, other states.
You mean certain far western states that may have a very long coastline? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of cars here that do not have the little license plate holders that, you know, the dealerships always give out when they move. They quickly remove dealerships that are from, you know, certain coastal states. So, but on the other hand, you can almost tell that they've moved in from out of state because they don't have a license plate holder.
There you go. Being observant. Well, the missus, did you have any adder on that one?
No, I think you guys pretty much covered it.
And our listener who's out there in the audience says, that's Mark's guide to becoming Sean Spencer.
Exactly, right?
From Psych.
Yeah.
Which is a great show. Is that one you like? Okay, good.
It is.
All right. Well, finally, we'll toss it over the transom to Mark from the Deus Ex Magical Girl blog, the story, Why Men Don't Read Books by Women. And this is a reaction to a woman, her name is Marianne Sieghart. And I think that she might, I think she liked Luftwaffels, but that's another story. Anyway, Mark, all yours.
Well, actually, I'm going to bounce it back to you because, you know, it's a response piece. And I'll be honest, I didn't go to The Guardian and read the original piece. So maybe sure. You can just give a quick rundown on what the original piece said.
Well, she talked about, you know, some of the best women authors have really hidden their sex. I'm sorry, gender. The Bronte sisters, George Eliot, J.K. Rowling had to hide their sex from readers. And of course, the problem is men. She brings up Margaret Atwood. Now, I have read the last three Margaret Atwood books. That was their Orc and Crake series and the sequels. And I just want to drive up to Canada, go find her and give her paper cuts and pour lemon juice in them. But M.A. Sieghart indicates that every serious person who likes literature should have Margaret Atwood in their cabinet. And I've read it, and as science fiction, it's bad, and as literature, it's worse because the plot was like what a slow third grader might dream up.
Well, you know, and I haven't seen The Handmaid's Tale at all or read it, but I have seen the trailers for it and the videos, the commercials, and that's enough just to make me cringe and roll my eyes.
It's the Baptist Taliban coming right here to you in this country. The
Baptist
Taliban. And of course, it's thinly veiled. This is what Republicans want to do to all women, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just look at that and I'm thinking, you know, most Christian wives, if their husband even started to act a little bit towards that, would be backhanded, you know, or slaps upside the head.
Okay. You have to address this, honey. She go talk to
I'm
the.
I'm not responsible for this, and I don't even know where the dog is.
They're upstairs, and you know why they're doing that.
Okay, hang on a second.
Number two son has shown up. Sorry. Okay. And in fact, our viewer said that The Handmaid's Tale is the boomer wine aunt's fear fantasy. So, and that's true. I mean,
well, you want to know something funny, right? Okay. So I know a lot of people who are writers. And first of all, so there's a large section of gay men who write gay man-on-man erotica. But there's also a huge number of straight women who write it. And it really pisses off the gay men writers. And that's number one. Number two is, no, I can't forget. I'm like Rick Perry. I can't remember what number two is. Crap, what was I going to say? The dogs threw me. Yeah, go ahead. I guess that's what I had.
Okay. Well, okay. So there.
Let me continue on the
article.
Oh,
you got something? Okay.
Yeah. And then she brings up nonfiction. And she didn't understand why men weren't reading nonfiction written by women. And the only thing that popped up in my mind is maybe women are different and they write more about things that men don't care at all about. You know, maybe
like relationships.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, okay, so if you're a guy and you're in a relationship and someone says, here's this great book and it's all about touchy-feely and women in relationships, and guys kind of go, you know, if I wanted to talk about a relationship, I would go find my significant other right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How happy would that make your wives to, and you know, I could answer that for me. Well, if you just sat down and said, honey, let's just talk about our feelings and our relationship.
Yes.
And she would probably say, as I would say, well, what's wrong? Is something wrong? No, I just want to talk about how wonderful our relationship is.
And this is what men
right?
hear.
Right.
But so then her comment, and this is something I clipped from the original article, because this is the most unaware piece of writing that I've seen in a long time, except for that first piece that you went from. That was also completely self-unaware. If men don't read books spying about women, they will fail to understand our psyches and our lived experience. They will continue to see the world through an almost entirely male lens, with the male experience as the default. Yes.
Gay!
I'm a man. I'm a man. The male experience absolutely is 100% the default. Every man at heart is... That's who we are.
Or this.
Get to the chopper!
Yes. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in watching the chopper blow up. We're interested in running in with the sword. So anyway.
Okay.
The dogs are going to have to be outside the next time we do this. And I thought about putting them out, and I went, nah, it'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen?
and you end up with a bark fest 2021.
Yes, exactly. So here's an interesting thing I thought from this piece was where they were talking about J.K. Rowling and how J.K. Rowling is kind of the exception. But I will say this, okay? I have never personally read any of the Harry Potter books, but I know a lot of people who read them as kids, and they are now adults, and they are still way into those books. None of those people are men.
There,
yeah. Well,
okay. Well, yeah, and those are the kind of people that said Moderna are Hufflepuffs, and J&J, you're all Muggles. I don't know what a Hufflepuff or a Muggle is.
I don't know.
You get the point.
Well, I read the books as an adult. So, well, I mean, I'll get back to that. But let me. So the rebuttal is basically what you'd said before, which is that men and women are different and they like different things. And basically that's what the rebuttal boiled down to. They talked about some of the famous, the most popular female authors. Interestingly, Jane Austen is still one of them. But they talked about them, and they all, Jane Austen, they mentioned, writes, these romance. The most of the other female authors, they write raunchy romances. And then you've got what's her name that you mentioned before with that has some, has the Baptist confused with the Taliban. That one. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever get within 100 miles of a book of hers voluntarily. But yeah, I mean, that's the point. I mean, and really, there's a certain sense to that because, when you read a book, unless you're trying to torture yourself, if you're reading a book for enjoyment, you're reading it for escapism, and you want a hero that is somebody that, sort of inspiring, somebody you might want to be. And, there isn't, nobody, no men out there don't want to be, some lovely catch for some guy with long flowing hair and huge muscles. I mean, that isn't what they want. They want to be, Rambo or, Batman or something exciting like that. And that's why, the adventure, Tarzan, Conan. So that's the aspiration there. And people like that. And that's the other thing too. I mean, men are into, they want adventure and action and so forth. They most men are, I think, are pretty direct in their communications. They aren't going to be, trying to come at it from some obscure tangential angle on a subject. They're pretty good about just getting to the point. So that's where it's at. I mean, there is a difference in it. Now, getting back to J.K. Rowling's works with Harry Potter. Okay, when the first two or three books are children's literature, And we got them because, you know, my kids were of an age where I thought that'd be fun to read to them and that they could read and enjoy them and so forth. And then it started to shift. And I'll be honest, I didn't like them after book four. Book four had some good, you know, action and stuff like that. You know, the last book, I did torture myself to get through it just because I wanted to finish the series. And, you know, frankly, there's like 100 pages in there that's just the characters all sitting around in a tent griping about things. And, you know, so if there's a fall off in male interest in those movies or in the end of the books, it's probably because there got to be a lot more character introspection and relationship, you know, items and issues coming up, which, you know, frankly, the men weren't interested in.
So there is a book called Mother of Madness, and this was in the blog piece, and it's written by Emilia Clarke, who, of course, is famous for playing Daenerys Targaryen, right?
That's who I thought that was, yeah.
So this is something that she wrote. You ready? Clapton Art Museum, New York City, March 2049. My name is Maya Cooper. I'm 29 years old, a single mom, a high school dropout, chemical engineer, part-time sex worker, Thai food junkie, and biological freak of nature. I'm a Scorpio with a blood moon rising, no drama, no water signs. I like Ruth Bader Ginsburg's speeches and Martha Stewart living. I enjoy more children's television shows than is probably healthy. I lie to myself every January about using the elliptical I bought 4 years ago for anything more than an expensive coat hanger. I get anxiety from feeling like I don't listen to enough podcasts about controlling anxiety, and I made a pacifist run on Undertale my first time through, including escaping the bullet hell. Thank you very much. I'm currently trapped schmoozing at an Upper West Side corporate after party as part of my boss's entourage for a female empowerment in the workplace initiative. The last CFO had to step down after getting caught soliciting what turned out to be several thousand Mexican scorpions in a trench coat as part of a viral prank sensation. So here we are. That is on the first page. It's not unreadable.
Wow.
It's...
wow, nothing makes you want to read that like that, huh? Woo. So do you remember that, I know you do, John, the Kevin Smith movie where where Ben Affleck was a comic book writer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chase, and at the end, where the girl, where Amy has her own comic book now, and it had, like, some hideously pretentious name. That's what I imagine her comic book read like.
Yep. Well, and again, and then that's part of what's gone wrong with literature as a whole. It's not women. It's just bad stuff. It's stuff that's woke. It's this this person who is entirely capable, right? I can do all of these things, and I'm only 29, and I'm a single mom. I don't.
And I'm just being held down by the patriarchy.
Yes.
No, you're being held down because you suck. Next, come on, write a good story.
Yeah. Well, this is, and that's why the comic book industry is just imploding in the U.S. I don't know if you read Vox Day's blog very much, but since he's running,
I emailed him this morning, and I got a response.
Oh, okay.
so you know
what he talks about as far as comic books, because he started his own comic mm-hmm. book company and stuff, and in that same article it noted about a Japanese manga, and I think it's one that my kids like, but I mean it had outsold all, you know, its sales were higher than all of the comics produced in the U.S. combined.
Yes. Well, the industry is dead because it's woke. And, you know, it used to be written for kids. It used to be written for 8 to 15-year-olds, let's call it. Now, it's not. And as Jeff, our faithful companion, says, manga outsells comic books in the U.S. So there's a reason for that. And the reason is they're producing garbage.
Well, you know, and kind of going back to Vox, because we are kind of of like mind with the way Vox thinks about things. And part of the issue here, because she talks a lot about sci-fi in this article, and science fiction has been really swarmed and taken over by fantasy. And those things should be two different genres, because they are. Fantasy is very female-focused, and science fiction is much more male-focused. And I, you know, I don't know who you are. Space Marines and werewolves should not hang out together unless they're written by Chuck Tingle.
Okay. Well, and really that's the case. I mean, it takes a, when you were building science fiction, you're building something that's first and foremost about something that should be technologically feasible and possible. And even the Warhammer 40K universe is a technologically feasible and possible universe, even though it, you know, bends a little bit into the genre of horror. But fantasy, it's just, you know, let's make something up.
It's romance with werewolves, but basically.
It is. And,
and that's okay. Problem, I kind of like that, but it's not science fiction.
It isn't. And the big problem is that Tolkien, when he put together, I mean, when you get the very best novels up first, it kind of, you know, how are you going to beat The Lord of the Rings? I mean, that's a once in a 200 or 300
years. You can beat that with The Hobbit, which is the better book.
Well, but that's right. But you look at it, it's still Tolkien. Tolkien created the single best fantasy universe ever.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to create a mythos for England.
Yeah, and I mean, I think of, you know, I don't know. I guess it's, you know, it's not Conan, but I mean, I think it's fairly masculine in there. I mean, you know, you've got good, strong male characters, and, you know, you have good, strong female characters too. I mean, he wrote it, you know, with a good perspective, and I think it was informed by his, you know, service during World War I, and it comes across well. You know, his genre, I get, you know, I consider it to be high fantasy. You know, I would say that there is some fantasy that is male oriented, the old sword and sorcery genre, like Conan, mm-hmm. and
Robbie Howard, Faffer
the Grey Mouser, and yeah, and they're, you know, but nobody seems to write that anymore.
They really, again, Robert E. Howard created the most stunning character at the very beginning. Coming up with something even close to that in this day and age, it's nigh impossible, because, you know, right out of the bat, he created the icon of that genre.
Yeah. Yeah. The closest we've got to that would be machine guns and sorcery that we get with Monster Hunter series. But
yeah, again, when they invaded those spaces, I mean, they defined them, they created them, and anything that comes afterwards, you go, well, it's just an imitation of that first. This is like Conan. I mean, everything rhymes with it.
Yeah, but let's be honest, you know, when you find a book that you like and an author you like, what do you want them to do? You want them to write the same book over and over again, but with slightly different parts to it, so it keeps you interested, right?
Or a good arc, yeah, start to finish arc.
Yeah.
I think
the dogs may outlast us.
Yes, they have. Sad, many such cases.
that's basically what I have. But I mean, you know, I think that the qualities that go to making a good man are different than the qualities that go to making a good young woman.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's probably terrible to say this, but, you know, a lot of the qualities in my own life that I look at, positive qualities, you know, a lot of them came because I was a big fan of the Hardy Boys books when I was a young, you know, preteen and teen, you know, young teen. You know, because those books describe what, you know, a man, as, you know, would be expected to do, you know, honor, intelligence, curiosity, you know, some of these different factors that go into being that. They don't you know, and I haven't read the Nancy Drew books, but I would assume the Nancy Drew books do sort of the same thing as far as, you know, basically setting out sort of what would be the, you know, an ideal, idealized factors for, you know, a modern woman.
Yeah, and that's something that the wokeism can't abide by. And I think that goes back to the article by Mrs. or Ms. Oh, I already closed that. but by the original author at The Guardian is, well, why can't men understand women? Well, do men want to understand women? I mean, do they really?
Well, I don't think it's possible because there's the evolutionary, you know, if you want to go into scientific basis, you know, evolutionarily, men and women have different roles. And, you know, millions of years of evolution have shaped that. You know, it's futile to try to get men to think like women or you know, or vice versa. I mean, that just is not, literally isn't in there. And that's part of the problem, I think, with wokeism, especially where they have these, you know, little 90-pound waifs throwing around, you know, 250, 300-pound guys, you know, just totally gets it wrong. I mean, you know, you always have to have a basis in reality with movies and writing. And, you know, once you... if you burst that, I mean, everything goes wrong. And you know, that's another big problem. Is that, you know, it is unrealistic.
Well, yeah, first off, the physics is wrong. And then second off, the biology is wrong. And that's something that, you can have incredibly strong female characters and not make it as silly as it is. The way, if, again, going back to the '70s, Ripley and Alien, a very strong female character who didn't depend on physical strength to win in the end.
And I think that's why Disney, well, at least the Kathleen Kennedy in Disney, so hates Gina Carano, is because Gina Carano is representative of the fact that, you know, you've got to be an exceptionally big and strong woman to, you know, stand toe to toe with men in a fight.
Yeah, and you look at
well, and even then, you probably ought to be better than the guy, bigger than the guy, too.
Well, she, you know, Fallon Fox. Fight.
Look at Fallon Fox. That's the transgender MMA competitor who, you know, it's a guy who turned into a girl who hits girls so hard in the head that he has cracked multiple skulls.
Yeah.
Must feel like such a winner when he steps out of the ring.
So strong and brave.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Well, I think we've come full circle.
That was easy.
We started on the same note and ending on the same note. Crazy enough, men and women are different, and when people fail to realize that, that's when the problems start.
Yeah! Science, bitch!
Oh, Mr. White.
Well, it was good talking.
Likewise. And ready to do this again next week, folks?
Cheers erupt all around the world.
I believe that that we've got our, with the exception of the canine conundrum, which can be solved very easily, I believe that we have our technical issues wrapped up, because our listener has said that the sound quality is much, much better this episode. So
awesome.
We have invested highly in the Wilder Studios, deep in the bowels of the Wilder Redoubt, and
the really expensive part was putting together the giant cave. Yes. And importing all the bats.
Well, yeah, well, and because you have to drill down at least 1,500 meters for a cave.
Like absolutely. This. If you want to do it right.
If you want to do it right. And you do. It's an end of the world cult that you can really believe in.
All right. Well, talk us out, Mr. Host, and I will stop our stream and we'll be back next week.
All right. And that's right. We'll be back next week at, what is that? It'll be 9 o'clock Eastern time. You can do the math for wherever you live, and we will be back, and hopefully we'll have some, we'll let people know in advance, and we'll have some more folks out in the audience. Thank you very much.